dice are loaded. Everybody rolls.
Good morning.
Fingers crossed.
And welcome.
Everybody knows.
This is Mike Harris on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and it's Wednesday, April 4th, 2012. April 4th, I think Mercury is coming out of retrograde today, so we're going to start making progress on things. And no, I don't have our astrologer on today. I'm just remembering what she said from last time. But I don't have a guest scheduled today. So it's going to be open phones for listeners to call in. I hope to get some commentary about the guest we had yesterday, Harold Covington, and his viewpoints on race relations in this country, because it's really a subject that we're not allowed to talk about unless you toe the official affirmative action line. And I hope that our listeners are informed enough, and I hope you all have your own opinions about this, which I'd like to hear from you. Let's give out the dial-in number right away, because I've noticed a pattern that the listeners don't call in until two-thirds of the show is gone. Then I get a lot of callers, and sometimes I can't get to everyone, and I really don't like doing that. I like hearing from people, and I like giving every caller who calls in adequate time to express their views and to really make sure that they're heard and that their viewpoint is heard. So that being said, the number is 1-800-313-9443. And as you all know, I'm the guy who never has a pencil to write things down, so I assume that others out there are like that as well. The number is 1-800-313-9443. So I encourage you, if you have comments or questions or wish to make a statement, that you pick up the phone early and you call in, because I do enjoy hearing from you. I really do. One of the articles that I'm going to talk about in the interim while I'm waiting for callers to call up is it's on VeteransToday.com, and it's called Israel's Escalating Rhetoric on Iran, and the article is about that we're following Israel's example of lawlessness, and in doing so, the U.S. is damaging its own reputation. It's by a guy, forgive me for the pronunciation, but it's Abul Lala Sudavar, and I don't know who he is or what his nationality is. I haven't pulled his bio up yet. But he makes he talks about the Jewish presence in Iran and how Jews are welcome there as part of the culture, and the cooperation, the cultural exchanges that are going on between Israel and Iran, which indicates that there's more of a relationship there than we've been led to believe by our mainstream media. And he talks about how, what are the real motivations behind this increasing Israeli rhetoric for the destruction of Iran? And he calls it what his term is a Madoffian reaction. And what he terms this is after Bernie Madoff, that Israel commits crimes, continues to commit crimes, and it creates fiction to cover the crimes that it commits. And it's a pretty fascinating article. And he lists their type of criminal activity, like land grabbing and murder and the destruction of other people's property, and just goes through a number of things, and it's quite fascinating. But I'll be back to talk about that. We've got a break coming up here pretty soon. This is the first one. It always comes in quick. But again, I want to urge callers to call in at 1-800-313-9443. Because I really want to hear from you, because I think that we had an inordinately interesting topic yesterday with the... all right, there's our break music. I'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Condition grounded, determined to try. Gotta keep my eyes from the circling skies. Tongue tied and twisted, just an earth.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is Mike Harris, Republic Broadcasting Network, and it's Wednesday, April 4th, 2012. And we have our first caller. Let's welcome Michael from Colorado. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, Michael. And yourself?
I'm doing okay today. A little tired this morning, but hey, what the heck.
I appreciate you getting up so early out there. Before addressing your question to us, I'd like to thank you for a topic we covered a few months ago, which was voting. One of the things that you had mentioned was getting involved, and back when Colorado had its caucuses, I wanted to make you aware that I decided to go and attend that, and that was almost like a secret because it wasn't really posted. I really had to dig to figure out, you know, that we were a caucus state and where to go. Anyway, to make a long story short, I showed up, was very surprised in a pleasant way. Although there were only 19 people in our district, it was pretty amazing. I was volunteered to be a delegate, got involved with the state or county caucus, and there were during the meeting, there were one of the candidates asked for a show of hands on how many people that it was their first time as a delegate or an alternate, and by a show of hands, there was over two-thirds of us that it was our first time. And all the politicians that were up on stage were shocked by that amount of participation. So I wanted to thank you because it was your encouragement that got me off my behind and got me to do something.
Well, Michael, I got to tell you right off the bat, you've made my day already.
How's that?
Well, the fact that I do get up early, I do this radio show, and the fact that I've had a positive effect on one person's life, it just makes me smile. It makes me happy inside. I got to tell you, because the message that I want people to understand is that every individual out there who's listening to my voice can make a difference to change the world, to make it better. And you have just confirmed that over the phone here. And you're not a setup. You're not a plant. This has taken me off subject for what I was hoping to talk about today, but you've made my day.
Well, I'll get back to your subject in a moment. I also want to let you know that by attending the county caucus, the county convention, if you will, that I spoke with a couple of county commissioners, and I was able to find out when they have their meetings. Different information that's typically not made available. I mean, it's made available to the public, but it's not in your face available. And so sometimes it's a matter of just digging and getting involved. And one last point I'd like to make with you is that I spoke with a lot of the other delegates while we were standing in line waiting to register, and it's amazing how many people are fed up with what's going on with our government, and that's why all of us had unanimously agreed, at least the ones I spoke with, that we had to get involved and we had to start doing something about this.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more that we have to get involved. We don't have a choice, because if we don't get involved and do something proactive now, like people say, things are going to change or things are going to change. And what the implication in that is that you can have some control over the change, or you can relinquish all control over the change. And I'd like to be able to influence how things are going to change and make that a positive change. And I'm really, really glad to hear that you went. I'm glad to hear you got involved. I'm glad, very glad to hear you had a positive experience with it.
Well, Mike, one other thing to be aware of is when the host makes suggestions, I think a lot of times people, at least myself, took it to heart as far as how to, get involved. That's a general statement, but attending these things, it wasn't real hard to do. It was just a matter of taking 2 hours out of my day and doing it.
Well, I just want to talk to the rest of the listeners out there. You heard it from, this is a real guy, and he did it. He made a difference, and everyone out there can make a difference. You know, we can change the course that this country is on. If we all get involved, no matter what it is, how large or how small, we can make a difference. And, just like I said, thank you so much. You've made my day.
Hey, you're welcome. Now, to get back to your question and to get back on topic, I'm a Caucasian guy, and I was a little offended by your guest, by some of the statements he made yesterday, very honestly. Now, I don't know if it's because we've been taught as Caucasians not to bring up the race card, if you will. I find it very, very difficult and very challenging at times to have conversations with friends of mine that are darker complected skin. And there's times we can all agree that we all share the same problems, for instance, the rising cost of food or fuel or unemployment, etc. But a lot of times it just seems like he was, in my take, he was fueling the fire as far as this us against them in some of his comments.
Well, let me interject and let me tell you why I invited that particular guest on that day.
Sure.
You know, for all of my adult life, even back into my childhood, when I was a kid, when they were passing the Civil Rights Acts, in 63, 64, 65, when the big changes were coming, we've had these guys like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, who are these race baiters, who come out and they really get in our face. I mean, they really do.
You're right.
They know it. We know it. So I brought a guy on who's the opposite end of the spectrum, who really gets in your face from a white point of view, just to give a little bit of balance to it, because you can't be reasonable with unreasonable people. So I brought a guy on who is really a self-described extremist in his own words, just to show the listeners how the other half thinks, that somewhere in the middle there is a spectrum, between one extreme to the other, where it should be allowable for us to have an open and honest dialogue about race that's not tainted by the Al Sharptons, or not tainted by the white extremists on the other side, but it's honest, it's open, and sometimes you have to gore the sacred cow. And so that's what the purpose of having that guest on was to show people that if one guy can talk that extreme on the other end, that we all can talk somewhere in the middle, that, that it's okay for us to think out of the box that's being forced upon us by the mainstream media and what I'll call the radical black activist.
I completely agree with you, and I think that was very interesting how you did that. What would be more interesting is if there was any way to get somebody like your guest from yesterday, Ananel Sharpton, on the same show so that they could debate each other, but that might not turn out very well either.
Well, it may or may not. I don't want it to degrade into a shouting match, but I'm sure you listened yesterday from your comments, but I did invite Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson. And the one who I really want to get on is Brother Louis Farrakhan. I think he is the most fascinating of the black activists. And he's the guy who I really want to hear what he has to say. And I'll open up the phone if anybody from the NAACP wants to come on. I'd love to have him on because I think that the only way to address this issue is to address it head on. And let's stop tiptoeing around the issue of race and racial differences. And let's have an open, honest dialogue. And you know, no pun intended, and don't take it such, but let's call a spade, and it's not meant in a racially derogatory way. It's meant to say, let's call for what it is. And, go ahead.
No, all I was going to say, Mike, is that I still find that I've made more progress, whether it's my friends, Republicans, Democrats, black, white, whatever, is to focus on what we have in common as far as things that we don't like, rather than pointing fingers at who's to blame for it, because that doesn't do us any good.
Well, it doesn't, and I'm really fearful for our country, and I look at all the myriad of problems that we're facing, and I don't hear anybody even talking about what the real issues are, and whether
right.
It's race relations, or whether it's lack of jobs in this country, or whether it's voter fraud, or whether it's the influence of a foreign government, namely Israel. Nobody's talking about the real issues, and so that's why I try to put it out there a little bit. And I'll have controversial people on just to provoke thought, just so the listeners can hear something different than the pablum we get, the propaganda, essentially, off of the mainstream media, which really dominates the airwaves on every channel, every station.
Well, you're absolutely right, Mike. I don't even turn on mainstream media anymore. My wife seems to still be glued to it, but they just don't talk about any of the issues, and they seem to spend a mega amount of time on useless stories. You know, some cat saved a family because they woke them up when the smoke alarm went off, and they'll get, dedicate 5 minutes to something like that, but you don't hear about any of the stuff that really matters.
It's true, and that's what I try to do. I try to provoke thought, and that's why I had a guy who is a self-labeled extremist and wants to resort to extreme measures. And you're right, he falls into the us versus them category, and he's a white guy, and he wants white people to prevail, and the black people who are out there, the Al Sharpton, they want their viewpoint to prevail. And
well,
so,
it was a very interesting show yesterday. Anyway, I'll let you go. Have a great day, and thanks again for your push and your encouragement.
Well, thank you for making my day, with your testimonial here that you went to the caucuses and you made a difference. It was a positive experience for you, because I want all of our listeners to try to get involved in some way, no matter how large or small. Thanks again, Michael, for your call, and you have a great day.
You too, sir. Bye.
Thank you. And let's go ahead and welcome Arthur from Georgia. Good morning, Arthur. How are you?
Oh, good morning, sir. Good morning.
Okay. Morning. How are you?
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Welcome to the show.
Since you brought this up, I received a very interesting email last night. I'd like to read it for you if possible.
Well, Arthur, why don't you prepare your notes there and read the email right after we get back after this break. We'll be back in 3 minutes, okay?
All right.
All right, thank you.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkey's are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working Capital Cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Mike Harris, Public Broadcasting Network, and it's Wednesday, April 4th, 2012. We're on with Arthur from Georgia. And Arthur, you were going to read us an email that you got last night you found interesting. So what do you have?
All right. Now, I don't know who this guy is because I don't watch television, but he's a comedian. And apparently he had to defend himself against what some people thought to be some racist remarks. And here's what he said, and I've said this many times, but never so articulate, and I wanted to share this.
Okay.
There are African Americans, Mexican Americans, Asian Americans, Arab Americans, and so on. And then there are just Americans. You pass me on the street and sneer in my direction. You call me white boy, cracker, honky, whitey, caveman, and that's okay. But when I call you nigger, kike, towelhead, sand nigger, camel jockey, beaner, gook, or chink, you call me a racist. You say that whites commit a lot of violence against you. So why are the ghettos the most dangerous place to live? You have the United Negro College Fund. You have Martin Luther King Day. You have Black History Month. Cesar Chavez Day. You have Pasha. You have Mao. Mawlid al-Nabi, you have NAACP, you have BET. If we had WET, White Entertainment Television, you'd call us racist. If we had White Pride Day, you'd call us racist. If we had White History Month, we'd be racist. If we had any organization for whites only or advance our lives, we'd be racist. We have a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, a Black Chamber of Commerce, and then we have just a plain Chamber of Commerce. Wonder who pays for that. a white woman could not be in the Miss Black America pageant, but any color can be in the Miss America pageant. If we had a college fund that only gave white students scholarships, you know we'd be racist. There are over 60 openly proclaimed black colleges in the United States. If there were one white college, that would be a racist college.
Arthur,
the Million Man March, you
Arthur,
believe, we're marching for your race rights.
Okay, if Arthur, I'm going to interrupt you here, Arthur, because I think we get your point, and, you know, I'm here to hear from you, and maybe you could refer people to where they can get a copy of this email ad. Is it posted on a website? Because we're wasting valuable time here. I want to hear from our listeners today.
Okay,
so,
well.
What's your take across this? And use your own words. And you know, the guy said it very articulately, obviously. But like I said, just to read out of someone's thing, that's not the purpose of the show here. We want to make the best use of our time. You understand?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know. I got it in an email. I don't know if it's posted anywhere. But if anybody wants me, they can email me, and I'll be more than happy to send them a copy of it. Here's my point. If we go back to the campaigns of 2008, we kept hearing all this, not going to play the race card, not going to play the race card, not going to play the race card. But at every turn, we played the race card. We need to get beyond this. One of the most profound things that I heard when I was a young man was when I joined the Army, and our drill instructor told us, there are no black, no white, no green, no yellow, no red. We are, no black, no white, no yellow, no red. We're all green. We all wear the same uniform. Well, if we apply that same logic to the civilian world, there is no race. We are the human race.
Well, you know, Arthur, I have a question for you. Let me ask you this. The military appears to be the only institution that manages race better than anybody else. What's their secret to success? How come the military does it so well, but every civilian institution fails and makes a big deal out of this? Because the military is, it's as close to a colorblind institution as I can think of.
Well, it's a simple concept. You do not allow division. If you have a division in the military, and it could be a racial division, it could be a gender division, it could be a religious division, any division, and the whole system falls apart. What you have to do is stop dividing yourselves. This is not a black-white thing. We are the human race. Part of being human is caring about each other, reaching out to each other. It's not about I'm black, you're white, I get this, you get that. No. That is the stupidest attitude to have. And the reason the military works so well in this field is because they do not allow divisions. We've got to stop dividing ourselves here.
Well, we've done a pretty effective job so far of dividing ourselves and differentiating ourselves, and you have to look at the motives why. Because there's money in that. I mean, how do you think Al Sharpton pays his taxes? That's a joke because Al Sharpton owes about $300,000 in taxes to the federal government right now. But these guys make money off keeping this conflict going. And the worse the conflict gets, the more money they make.
Absolutely. And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't matter what the division is because they know. If they keep us divided, if they keep us fighting amongst ourselves, the blacks fighting the whites, fighting the Hispanics, fighting the Asians, the gays fighting the heterosexuals, the Christians fighting the Muslims, fighting the Catholics, fighting, as long as they keep us divided, we will never come together as a single voice to stand up. And that's what we've got to do. We've got
Arthur. There's our break music. I want to thank you for your call. I really appreciate it, and we'll be back after this 3-minute break. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Good morning, and welcome back. This is Mike Harris on Republic Broadcasting, and it's Wednesday, April 4th, 2012. I want to once again encourage callers. The number is 1-800-313-9443. And again, 1-800-313-9443. Now, we've got some interesting comments. You know, the first guy who called in, Michael, I'm really impressed with him, the fact that he listened and he got involved. That impresses me a lot. This recent caller, Arthur, you know, I appreciate his point of view that he wants everyone to get along, want to put these differences behind us. But, you know, we've got some cultural differences, and I want to point some things out that I've noticed. You know, I've traveled the world. You know, I've made 98 trips to Asia. In the Far East, I've made, you know, 28 trips to Europe and the former Soviet Union. And one thing I notice is the countries like Japan, like China, where they're racially homogenous, they'll share a common culture. And in this country, at least three, if not four, competing cultures that are in conflict that causes a lot of our problems. You know, we've got what's currently the majority white culture. We've got a black culture. Now we have a huge influx of Hispanic Mexican culture coming in, and these cultures they all have different norms and modes of behavior. And it seems like, you know, the black culture, you know, I'm sorry, but they seem sort of thuggish. You know, you look at the rap videos and, you know, the whole gangster image and stuff, and, you know, that just leaves me cold. And I don't like it. I don't care for it. And how do we, incorporate all of that into a nation? How do we build, using these different cultural perspectives, how do we build a unified and strong nature? And these are questions I don't have the answers to. But like I said, I had the guest on yesterday for the reason of, you know, opening up the other side of the dialogue, because all we see on the mainstream media is the Al Sharptons, the Jesse Jacksons, what I call the race baiters, the guys who make their living off of stirring up the conflict between black and white. We've had at least 50 years of this experiment. And, you know, did the experiment achieve the desired results? Are we a more integrated society? Did we progress the way we were told we were going to progress? And I say, no, we didn't. And because I go back and I look at the FBI statistics, I'll once again refer the listeners to that, Google up the color of crime. And, you know, the color of crime is dark. And it frightens me. And it, you know, we were talking about the Trayvon issue yesterday and how this, you know, young man, you know, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. But this young man, unarmed, was shot by an armed guy. And they try to paint the shooter as a white guy. Well, he's not white. You know, he's some Hispanic, mestizo, you know, Jewish surname. And they try to blame all this on white people to keep this racial conflict going. And I just have to say I'm at a loss as to what to do next. And, you know, how do we make this country a better place? What do we do? We need to start asking ourselves these questions. How come the experiment of the past 50 years with, you know, the civil rights movement and integration, how come it hasn't worked? You know, what differences in culture, what differences in perspective, what differences in capability do we have that doesn't allow us to successfully and peacefully integrate? There's some things going on here. You know, free speech is stifled in this country because unless you agree with what the prevailing mainstream media view is about race, you're silenced and you're ostracized. You're a racist. You're called a bigot. You know, the caller Arthur was correct. The email that he was reading. If we had a white entertainment network, we'd be called racist. If we had, a white Miss America contest, we'd be called racist. But all these other subgroups can have their own individuality as far as their own particular racially biased events and processes. Culturally, it's okay for there to be a black Miss America, not a white Miss America. And, you know, the white majority is rapidly becoming a minority. How are we going to change our thinking to adjust to our coming minority status? What are we going to do? Are we going to continue to do things as we have in the past? Because it's one thing to be majority of the population. It's another thing to be the minority of a population. We have to adjust our thinking. And with that question being said, let's welcome Tom in Florida. Tom, welcome to the show. Good morning, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Yeah, it's an interesting topic, this whole race thing. When I was a child, I lived in a number of different places in the United States. I lived in western New York. I lived in Ohio. I lived in Southern California. And I lived in Washington, D.C. area. Basically D.C., okay?
Okay.
Looking back on it, I'm not sure if I was insensitive, but I was living in a segregated country. I didn't have any black kids in my school in California or in New York. If I look back on it, I realize that, well, there wasn't a lot of, we didn't live in fear of the blacks. I don't remember a lot of associating, but, I mean, they kind of lived where they lived. We lived where we lived. I never heard my parents speak of, you know, oh, watch out this, watch out that, this is happening. In other words, everybody seemed to be relatively, stable. I know that was before the days of welfare, so I do believe the black families probably were more intact with fathers in the home in those days. This is in the late 50s, to early 60s, as I'm talking about the era.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to wonder what actually went so horribly wrong, because I don't know if anybody's familiar with the D.C. area, but it's full of black people. And
oh, yeah.
We used to skip school and go down to the district, which was very close by. I mean, there were blacks. We never lived in fear. Oh, watch out. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. I had some friends who formed a band, and I kind of tagged around with them. And one of the guys in the band was a black guy who played the sax. We didn't think anything of it. He was a nice guy. I mean, I knew this guy I knew approximately where he lived, and we weren't really close friends. But he would come in for the sessions and whatnot. And I'm just trying to describe the world as it was before perhaps a lot of attitude was stirred up.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What do you think changed? I mean, where did the country go wrong? What changed to make this such an explosive issue these days?
Well, I believe that the family structure is very important. And like I always tell my kids, I said, you show me a boy with no dad, and I'm going to show you a mad boy. I'm going to show you an angry young man when he grows up. You know, the father figure is so important to the human family.
Well,
I mean, there's no doubt about it in my mind. I mean, you
just touched on a brilliant subject here, and this is a point I want to point out for people. The American family, both black and white, is under attack, and it has been. And I think it's an intentional, systematic dismemberment of the family to erode our American culture, because the family is the basis. And you brought up the welfare system. Now, welfare was never meant to be a career choice. And we have a lot of what I'll call the permanent underclass, which encompasses black, white, Hispanic, anybody who's permanently on the welfare system. They're not allowed to have the men in the house. The system is structured to put a woman in charge and not allow a man to live in the house with them. And I think that is one of the most damaging things that has happened to this country in the past 50 years.
Yeah, well, the father figure, I do believe, is the anchor for all of humanity. I hate to say it. I don't hate to say it. What am I talking about? I mean, we always talk about our Heavenly Father. I think that if you take the father out of the equation, I mean, even for girls, I think they've done some studies. I read some stuff that said, you know, if you take a family and you were to deprive it of one of the parents, a lot of people are going to cringe when I say this, but the fact of the matter is they would probably fare better if they didn't have a mother than if they didn't have a father, because girls get all of their understanding of who they're going to marry, the type of person you're looking for, from the man in their life, which is their father. And young men model themselves after the father. We've got an advertisement right here on RBN. You have an out-of-control teenager. She specifically says something about mothers. Do you have? Well, of course mothers have.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right.
Man.
A woman has no right
giving a young man orders. I mean, it sounds terrible. We've been so conditioned, it sounds like, well, who the heck is that guy saying a woman has no right giving a young man orders? It just doesn't work out. The father points at the boy and says, listen, this is what we're going to do. This is the program. And that
straight up and fly right, kid. Oh, come on.
Right, and a woman is only going to get flack because he's biologically not, women aren't normally in control. I mean, they're supposed to be our equal, but totally separate. I mean, there's such a difference between men and women, and they just don't want it. They're trying to blend us together. Of course, it's the communist model. We're all alike. We're all workers. You know, women can rake slag and dig. That's not true. They're the weaker.
Physically, they're the weaker. Tom, you're making great points here, and I want to reiterate them for our listeners. But women are equal, but they're up. They're extremely complementary to us. And as we are to them, and you know, we can't function without them. They can't function without us. And we've been told, like you said, this communist lie that women are equal to men and should get be treated like men. No, they shouldn't. They should be treated like women. It's a different set of parameters, because, as you noticed, they're biologically different from us. They do other things well that we don't do well. We do other things well that they don't do well. And it's complementary, and the two-parent household really, really is the key to successful child-rearing.
Yeah. Well, though, it's a God-given, God-blessed dynamic that's been given to us. And, I mean, women have lost so much by getting involved in this women's lib thing. I mean, they've just thrown themselves down so many levels, and they don't realize what they gave away. I think some of them are starting, but not many.
Well, they really don't. And, you know, I feel sorry for the single moms out there who have to both work to earn a living and keep up a household to raise, the kids that they have. I really feel for them because I couldn't imagine a more difficult or strenuous set of challenges than trying to do both without a man in their life. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, which I sort of am. But I think it's got to be a tough life for him, and I have a great deal of compassion. How do we make this better?
Yeah, well, we have to go back to the old values, and I believe they're basically biblical values, and just go from there. But I mean, I won't call them people. The creatures that have set this system up for us know this knowledge. They know us better than we know ourselves. And I do believe this is a trap that's been set, and unfortunately, it's working quite well. I always tell my children, getting back on the woman subject, I say, "Gee, when I was a kid, you know, women were like really special girls. I remember, you know, and I said they were almost like, I mean, they were like sacred. Like, oh wow. I mean, there was none of this. They were so different from us, you know." Really respected them and really thought they were special, you know. But now they're all kind of so rough and tough, and they're wearing tattoos, and they're spitting, and they're swearing, and they're like, just like one of the guys. And they really lost that
well,
beautiful holy veil that was around them. And I sound kind of corny.
You bring up something interesting. The concept of the tomboy, which was a girl who was kind of, you know, hung with the boys and was rough and tumble, like you said. That concept has become from a rarity to the prevailing. You know, all girls are tomboys now, or the majority of them seem to have tomboy traits. Like you said, they get tattoos and they spit. You know, I mean,
yeah.
is that how we want to raise our daughters? Is that what we want to do? Yeah. I don't think so.
The other thing that I think people don't understand that I've noticed, or maybe, you know, whatever, it's my opinion, but the whole idea of promiscuity in women, it was more or less very rare when I was a kid. I mean, everybody knew who the girls were, you know, but they were very rare. Like, oh, if you, whatever, you go out with her or whatever. But generally, the standard was, you know, everybody was pretty chaste. And the function there, I think, the trap there that was set for us was that if you're, you know, promiscuous or whatever, let's say you're not a virgin in your marriage, I think that destroys the biblical and the human bond between a man and a woman. In other words, if you bond with somebody, that's for life. But if it's just been all so casual and, you know, considering it's the most intimate relationship you can have with another human, I think they realize, yeah, we're going to snap that bond. We're going to get everybody to sleep around. Then when they finally marry somebody, it's kind of be like, well, you'll do for now, and if you don't, that's fine too. There's never that sacred bond that lasts forever. And,
well, you know, you're right. I read an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. It's called "How Do You Know When Your Marriage Is Over?" And it was really an article about, you know, how to determine when it's time to bail on a marriage. And you know, it's very different than what we were raised at. I'm of the same generation that you are. It sounds like late 60s. I was I was coming into my, you know, childhood then, and you know, it's a different perspective today. And I really think that you may be right. I think the blacks have been specifically targeted for destruction of their family, and via the welfare system. And I think that's a tragedy.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And I know a lot of people, you know, they don't realize how they've been tricked, because, like, what's the saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. you know, someone would come out and say, well, gee, what are you going to do? She's got some children. Her husband's gone. And they'll go down that road and say, no, but you don't understand. You know, that's because the system is there and they've been encouraged to do this. And like you said, well, if they make application for welfare and they ask them if they're married, and is the man in the house, and they say yes, well, they're not going to get anything.
Right, exactly. and there's also the incentive to have more kids because you get more money. And, you know, there is the volume buying power. Can you feed four cheaper than you can feed two? Well, no, but you can buy a lot more for four and leverage it across that, so it's a better quality of life.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, there's our break music, and thanks for your call. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Turn to try. Gotta keep my eyes from the circling skies. Turn the tide and twist it. Just an earthbound mystery.
Head pushing on sand. Texture's bridge.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, we missed our bump in music there. Little snafu in the control room, but hey, if that's the worst that happens, we're still going to have a good day, right? Anyway, you know, back to our topic here, and that is, you know, how do we make this country a better place? What do we do? And have the experiments of the last 50 years been successful? And, you know, there's some of them that I don't think have worked out so well. This whole, you know, great society, the welfare state that was created by Lyndon Johnson, I have to look at it as being an abject failure. And what Johnson called this was the war on poverty. Well, you know, you look at the war on poverty, and it's created nothing but more poverty. And I look at the war on poverty as being directly responsible for a lot of the degeneration of moral standards and, you know, human behavioral standards. I mean, race relations, I don't think have ever been worse in this country. I really don't. I think that, you know, things have gotten bad. And, you know, I read an article last week I referenced on the show, and it was about that there isn't any white racial hatred towards blacks, but there's a great deal of fear towards blacks. And how do we overcome these differences? How do we bridge this gap? What do we do? What is our course of action? How do we proceed forward from here? Because what we're doing now doesn't work. And, you know, it makes me wonder about the other war that the government conducts. You know, we have the war on drugs. We've never had more drugs in this country than we do now. Never. Now we have the war on terror. And so I'm anticipating that terrorism is going to continue to increase. Anytime the government creates a war on any subject, you know, whether it's poverty, whether it's drugs, whether it's terrorism, we seem to get more of it. So let's get the government out of this war business, you know, because these things that develop around this, these constituencies that are for poverty, these constituencies that are for drugs. And, you know, when I say for drugs, I look at the prison industry and I look at the drug cartels, which are a problem. You know, I'm in Arizona, so it's a big problem here, but it's a problem in your town as well. The cartels are everywhere. And, you know, there's a vested interest in this. I mean, we've never had the number of law enforcement out there acting badly as we do now. And I think it's directly tied to the war on drugs. This terrorism thing where, you know, all of our rights are gone. They've destroyed the Bill of Rights to protect us from terrorists. Well, there weren't any terrorists before this war on terror. And, you know, drugs were just a minor problem before the war on drugs. Poverty was not nearly as prevalent. I mean, today, 48% of the population of the U.S. is depending on a government check of some sort. 52% of the people pay the bill for it. And really, we have to go back and examine the changes that we implemented in the last 50, 60, 70 years and determine, did this program achieve the desired result? And if it didn't, let's undo those things. Quit doing the same stuff that got us in these problems. And, you know, if you make a mistake, acknowledge the mistake was made and change the behavior. If something was put in to address a specific problem and it's not working, if the problem isn't being fixed, isn't being cured, change the program. Change it. Many of you have heard me many times on the show talk about regime change. We need a regime change in this country. We need to change how the country does business, how it conducts itself. We've been misguided for the past 50, 60, 70 years, and it's time for us to go back to the basics, go back to the fundamentals. Any sports team, if they're performing poorly, the first thing they do is they change the coach, and the new coach takes them back to the fundamentals. Whatever that is, but that's what we have to get back to in this country. We need to go back to the fundamentals of what makes this country America. And we're so far off course. We're so far off base. You know, I look at this election, these primaries coming up. These guys aren't even talking about the real problems in this country. They're really not. And until we get back to the basics, until we get back to the fundamentals, we're going to stay continuing to be off course of what America really is. All right, there's our bumper music. My time is over for the day. I want to thank you all for listening. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800